Chapter 31, Leaving Paradise. Amy wearily pulled on the rope that she and Damien had placed around the deer's head. Georgia was pulling on the other. The two deer had always lived furtively in the forest and weren't used to close contact, never mind ropes. "Come on," she begged the frightened animals. "We have to leave paradise." "I'll take the ropes," Damien offered. "You girls try and coax them from behind." All the tinies were distraught, even the animals. After the dangerous flood they had survived, Ponzi had woken up everyone in the morning saying they had to leave paradise. Even the animals had to leave. It had taken a long time to catch the deer. If Damien hadn't found ropes and apples in Zahir Milan's house, they may never have found a way. With the girls behind them and Damien pulling strongly in front, the deer reluctantly trotted along. Fredo stayed close to Amy's side, anxious to find his master. Santa tried to catch a rabbit, but without success. "What will happen to the animals if they don't come with us?" she blurted out. "We can't catch them all." "What about the ducks and the loons?" Lily asked. No one really knew what to say. "What would happen if we just decided to stay?" Dia moaned. "I don't see why any of us have to leave," Damien muttered. "We can fix things up. I can't imagine living in the nursery again." Passing by Zahir's house, Damien called out angrily. "Get up, Franz," he said. "Everyone has to leave. We're heading down now." They waited impatiently for Franz. He finally emerged in a dry pair of Milan's clothes. Everything was topsy-turvy. Many of the tinies had been trapped on the other side of paradise. Those who had bravely taken the rescue boats had spent the night on Mining Hill. Damien and Franz had spent the last few hours of the darkness sleeping in Zahir Milan's house. Amy, Georgia, Santa, Dia, and Lily had been safe in their mansion on Rainbow Hill with their own dry beds and clothes. Up on the forested hill, the tinies hadn't suffered nearly as much as those in the valley. No trees had been uprooted, and the water hadn't pooled around their homes. As they reached the clearing and looked out on the rest of paradise, they were horrified. Standing on the hilltop, Amy began to cry. "It's ruined," she wailed. Our beautiful world is ruined." Santa came close and put her arm around her. The deer tried to pull away to run into the forest, and the two young men did all they could to hang on. Paradise was in ruins. Water lay on the devastated gardens. Many fruit trees were uprooted and now floated in the brown lake. All the low-lying houses were bobbing up and down in the dirty water. The store, which had a foundation, had been fully submerged, and the walls were now covered in green scum. The outhouse was a mess. Only a few pillars remained upright on the remains of the school. The lower sections of the hills were scarred with deep water furrows, and mud lay everywhere. And little did any of them know that all the electronic equipment hidden in the cave under Rainbow Hill had been completely destroyed. Sadly, they began their descent. The deer bolted, pulling hard on the ropes. Damien and Franz began sliding down the hill after them. "Hey!" they called out as mud splattered everywhere. "Girls, help!" Hitting a tree, Damien was finally able to gain some leverage and take control. Franz slipped and fell, but didn't let go of his rope. Amy, Georgia, and Santa ran down, slipping and sliding on the soggy slope to help the guys. Once two tinies were holding on to each rope, they were able to control the deer. Santa saw the rabbit again and tried to catch him. Unfortunately, she tripped and fell face first in the mud. She picked herself up with dismay. Dia carefully stepped from tree to tree. "Everything is so wet and gross," she cried. Lily tried to help her friend. Coming out of the forest, they could see the others across the muddy valley. Uncle Louis was slowly making his way down Mining Hill. Zahir, Odin, Lima, and Ponzi were ahead of him. Charlie and Kenzie had their arms full of chickens. Brownie and the sheep were happily following Vahid. Nancy was holding Ripple, and Tina had a rabbit in her arms. "Watch out, this mud is slippery," Uncle Louis called out loudly, almost falling himself. Ponzi sat down and slid all the way to the bottom. Cheering wildly, he stood up, covered with mud. Impulsively, Zahir, Lima, and Odin did the same. "Well, that's a quicker way," Damien mused, watching enviously as they sloshed across the muddy field. "If there were no trees on that hill, I'd have taken a ride behind the deer." "You sure swam fast last night," Georgia praised. "Super fast," Amy agreed, looking proudly back over her shoulder as she helped hold the rope. "We were all watching you and hoping you'd be okay." Then with an anxious expression, she added, especially when you hit that bridge. I almost wasn't okay, Damien admitted quietly, pulling hard on the rope as a deer tried to bolt. What? The two girls asked in unison, helping the boys rein in the deer. Even Franz looked up in surprise. I got pulled way down by the water, he admitted. When I came back up, I just barely made it to Uncle Louis's house. I didn't have the strength to swim to shore. With a quick smile in Amy's direction, he said, I'm awfully glad I got rescued. Helping Damien hold on to the rope, Amy swallowed hard. I'm so thankful we all survived that flood, she cried out. I couldn't bear to lose anyone else. I'm going to write a book, Georgia stated suddenly as she and Franz held tightly to the other rope. What happened to us last night is a story that everyone will want to read. Hey, that's a great idea, Damien nodded. He laughed. It would be way more interesting than Jake and Ellie go to a farm. Loving the idea, Amy suggested, and you could draw pictures too. Franz piped up. Maybe you could also write about the hot day. George's eyes shone. When I saw the rainbow, and we first felt rain. And you will have to do the spider encounter, Amy added. You tell that story so well. Georgia was elated. We've had some very exciting adventures, she said. Freda looked up to see Zaheer standing in the orchard ruins. With a happy bark, he dashed across the mire to greet his master. He then proceeded to shake, sending muddy water in all directions. Everyone yelled and tried to get out of the way. Finally, all the tinies gathered together in the uprooted orchard. Uncle Louis was talking to the others about the nursery. Amy noticed Charlie run over to place a little stone marker next to Rose's pillar. The bedraggled rose was still green, but Maxie had gone missing. Charlie was heartbroken. Amy felt so sad. So will we see our pets in the nursery? Milan inquired. Yes, Uncle Louis smiled. The baby animals will need lots of love and nurturing. Evan is going to put plenty of new books in the library, and he has even ordered some very special art and craft supplies. Really? Benita and Yuyan responded with delight, clapping their hands together. I'll start on my new book, Georgia exulted. I hope there will be clean, dry clothes, Benita said wistfully. Me too, Uncle Louis agreed, looking around at all the wet, bedraggled teens. I hate the nursery, Odin complained. We're all going to be crammed together again in one big, boring room. Many glaring eyes turned on Odin. Okay, he growled, throwing his hands up. I didn't know it was so easy to ruin paradise. Maybe if the... Odin, that's enough, Uncle Louis said sharply. Maybe we could help to fix paradise back up, rather than stay in the nursery, Zaheer suggested eagerly. If we all pitched in... We could probably clean everything up in a few weeks. It would be kind of fun rebuilding. Damien and Kenzie agreed. I appreciate your enthusiasm, Uncle Louis acknowledged, but this disaster is beyond us. We'll rebuild our homes when we return. We have more experience now, so we can build even better ones than we did before. And we'll appreciate paradise so much more, Amy nodded. Hard to believe that a tiny pebble can create this much damage, Odin grumbled. Or maybe the professor just needs to pay better attention to what's going on, if he's even real. Ponzi placed his hands on his hips and looked up with narrowed eyes. He didn't know what was happening, did he? Evan didn't either, Odin smirked. Turning around in the devastated orchard, Uncle Louis faced the challengers. The cow mooed, the chickens cackled, and Freda was rolling in the low-lying water. All the wet, weary tinies were looking toward him, and many eyes were full of fear. While Uncle Louis could empathize with the feelings of abandonment to a certain degree, he was not in any doubt about the professor's love or intentions. He was very loyal to the big, kind scientists he spoke to regularly on the smartphone. Yet it wasn't easy to transfer his allegiance or explain a being who preferred to remain unseen. He was well aware that his relationship had developed through continual interactions over the last 4 years, while the rest of the tinies had never met the mastermind of paradise. Somehow, he had to provide a satisfactory answer to what had just happened, even though he hadn't completely worked it out in his own mind. It was an unfortunate oversight, Uncle Louis admitted slowly. I don't know why it took so long for anyone to respond, But from now on, we have to realize that Professor and Evan may not be paying attention all of the time. That is true. There may be more emergencies that we will face in the future where we will have to rely on our own ingenuity to stay alive, just as we've done before. Thankfully, they've equipped us with everything they could think of to protect us from danger. The lake kept us safe from the heat. The hills helped us to escape the flood. Who knows what the next emergency will be, but maybe there are other things built into paradise that will help us to survive. Some of the tinies were nodding in agreement, but Odin, Pontsy, and Franz rolled their eyes at each other and smirked in amusement. With narrowed eyes, Uncle Louie focused on the three scoffers and said firmly, "Let's learn one lesson from this. From now on, we need to be very careful how we treat our environment. Carefulness may not protect us from every emergency, but it will avoid some." Odin kicked a mighty apple. "So are you saying we can't do any more experimenting?" he grumbled. Zaheer frowned. "You intended to cause damage," he argued. "Why don't you experiment and find a way to make things better?" Do you think you're Uncle Louie the Second?" Odin retorted, but no one laughed. Despite his exhaustion, Uncle Louie mustered what strength he could put on a brave face. "We're going to look on the positive side," he replied. "We've survived this flood. We haven't been left to clean the mess up all on our own. We have an important work to do, looking after the next group of animal babies. We will keep busy in the nursery, and the time will go fast. When we return with all our new pets, paradise will be ready for us to enjoy once again." Most of the tinies cheered. When the tunnel doors opened, the farm boys led the way through the hall and toward the ramp, herding the animals ahead of them. Amy hung back, intending to be last in line. She turned for a final look at the marred ruins of paradise where they had been so happy for over 4 months.
"I love you, dear little home,"
she sang wistfully, looking up at her forested hill.
"No matter where I roam, no matter how long we're away, I'll be coming back someday. You'll be green with a pretty view. Rainbows will rise over you. And when I see you again."
Another voice joined hers, a deeper, richer voice.
"Oh no, just how lucky I am."
Turning around abruptly, she saw Zaheer standing behind her. "Good ending," she said with a tearful smile. Zaheer held out his mighty hand and she took it gratefully. "It won't be long," he assured her. "Come on, let's go see our new pets." I'd like to thank the following people for helping me with this recording: Amber Abel and Jacob Keane for doing the singing, and Mika Imhoff for writing the music. I would like to acknowledge some of the books that were referenced in this novel. Many helpful ideas for this series have come from the Bible and my Christadelphian fellow believers. The following books and websites have also provided scientific insights and logical arguments to counter postmodernism, evolution, and new atheism: Wonders of Creation, The Works of the Divine Designer by David Burgess. You can find this at testimonymagazine.com. Answering the New Atheism, Dismantling Dawkins' Case Against God by Scott Hahn and Benjamin Wicker. This can be found at Emmaus Road Publishing. Mama Bear Apologetics by Hilary Morgan Farrar. This can be found at Harvest House Publishers. Servant Leadership by Robert K. Greenfield at Paulus Press. Creation Ministries International. Many good articles by Dr. Robert Carter and others can be found at creation.com. Change Us Not God, Bible Meditations on the Death of Jesus by John Launchbury. This can be found at wcfoundations.org. If you would like to order The Enormous Tiny Experiment and see all the maps and pictures, you can order both this and Pain in Paradise on Amazon.